welcome. You're welcome.
All right, calling in from the West Coast. Got my brother on the line. What's up, brother?
How we doing? What's going on? Happy birthday, belated.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. Oh, the birthday love. Can't get enough.
So how old are you now?
33.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the Pat Ewing, Larry Bird. So.
How you doing?
Still in the young 30s, though. I'll take it.
Plenty of time left.
Yeah, man. Plenty of time left. Man, speaking of, yeah, I mean, you've been living quite the life lately, huh?
It's been alright. You know, the struggle's real. Don't let the Instagram fool you.
What's the weather like in Southern California right now?
The weather's been good. The weather's been 70 and sunny for the last few weeks. Definitely a little on the higher and warmer side for this time of the year in California, but it's been... We're not complaining.
No, it's perfect. That's my perfect weather right there. Oh, man, yeah, we're expected to get like 1 to 3 inches of snow, which isn't bad, but it's just annoying. Every week it's something.
Yeah, that's, you know, I don't miss that. You know, we do have the constant anxiety of a giant earthquake hitting us, but, you know, I don't miss the snow.
Or wildfires or mudslides, no?
Yeah, the wildfires and mudslides are real. You know, I think 13 people were killed in Santa Barbara, you know, just last week from 2 days of rain. It's real. It's crazy.
Wow. Wait, so are the fires still going on?
Now, the fires are done for now, but, you know, there were some that got super close to home, so super thankful that they didn't get any closer. But, you know, the mudslides now, because, you know, anybody that doesn't know California all that well, it doesn't rain very often, so when it does rain, it creates these enormous land erosions and mudslides that you know have killed people and devastated homes. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
that's, you know, that's an hour and a half north of Los Angeles, so it's super close. Scary stuff.
Yeah, it's funny the difference between California and the East Coast. Like we get like the really shitty bad weather, but it's not the type of weather that can kill you, like in California, which has multiple different types of things that could kill you, like an earthquake or a mudslide or wildfire or God knows what.
Tsunami.
Yeah, it's all types of wild shit going on out there, man. Speaking of wild shit out there, I need to know about... I know we're only... What's today? Like the 16th. We're only, you know, 2 weeks in, but tell me about... The recreational marijuana wave that has hit California, finally. I gotta hear.
So, I mean, honestly, it's not what you would think. I mean, so I got off a plane from Mexico on January, what was it, January 7th, and driving down the 405, you know, something new that I haven't seen before, was all of those signs, you know, that they would typically say, like, don't drive drunk or... Don't text and drive or wear your seatbelt, you know, those types of signs. Now said, drive high, get a DUI. So that was kind of interesting.
What? Someone bought someone bought that billboard. Like
yeah,
spent
like
money.
It was like the safety, like the construction signs, you know, that are like, have those, that orange writing.
Oh.
Orange digital. So it was, you know, the actual government making these signs. So I guess they're trying to push that agenda maybe a little bit.
Oh, well, yeah, Jeff Sessions is pushing that real hard, and it's just, I just think it's backwards, but keep going.
But yeah, so I saw that, which is something new for California, and then they just put a storefront up on, you know, 2nd Street in Long Beach, Belmont Shore, which is like, you know, a hopping little street.
Yeah.
So they just put a storefront called Connected. It looks super cool. Went to go in and check it out. And there's a sign on the door that says, still medical use only. We're hoping Long Beach approves by the spring. So that was new info for me. I guess it's still going by counties. So I guess counties are choosing whether or not they want it. You know, they want storefronts in their areas. So Long Beach still has yet to approve that, which means Long Beach will not be seeing any recreational storefronts for, you know, we'll see how long, hopefully not too long.
What? Wait a minute. But so Long Beach is in Los Angeles County. And our good buddy, Panthay, who was here last week. Don, this is freezing, Don. Never coming back here again, okay?
Life's good.
I'm grudging it, Don. Anyway.
Killing it.
Anyway, so he's telling me that what they have done. I mean, he's in Los Angeles County as well, and he said otherwise.
In a different world, though. He might see some different stuff.
But like Long Beach, I mean, Long Beach is known for marijuana. I mean, Snoop, Sublime, you know what I mean? Like,
you know, the delivery services are thriving in the medical side, but yeah, I think Long Beach I think they associate, you know, weed shops with kind of lower income areas, or that they bring in that type of crowd. So I think they're just trying to keep that out as much as possible. But we'll see for how long.
That's kind of a bummer. I see what you're saying though, because Long Beach, it does, you know, it's got the east side. It's got like a little more hood to it than, you know, WeHo, you know, where it's, yeah, you know, yeah, where that's like a gentrified area. I get it. So, wow. So it's kind of like almost on a city, because Long Beach is a city. So it's kind of like on a city to city basis, so to speak. That's interesting. Another thing Panthay was telling me is that they tax it by like 34%. There's like a 34% tax added to. So if you want like a dub for like 20, you're paying like 26 something.
Really? Yeah, I haven't heard anything of that nature, but like I said, I've just still been on the medical route.
Right. I mean, and I've experienced that with you, and I mean, it's just like the stuff you see back here in New York City, where you just call and they bring it and that's it. I mean, it's pretty basic as that.
You know, it's just all like loophole laws.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper. I found it a lot cheaper though. You got better deals.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely cheaper than it is in New York City, but you know, it's still not ridiculously cheap. But you know, definitely saving 10 to 15 bucks on an eighth, that's for sure.
Yeah, and they have those, like, what was that, like, that Happy Hour Tuesday with the...
Yeah, you can definitely find places that have the cool deals and happy hours and stuff like that.
And then I'll give you a joint on top of that. It's pretty sweet. I mean, that's the best part, I think, about marijuana being legalized is that, you know, in New York here, you have to find ways to get it, you know, and that's never easy. You know, trying to, you know, I want to just go someplace and just get it. You know what I mean? Just walk into a store, boom, that's it. It's over. I got it. You know, if I have to pay an extra $6 tax or whatever, so be it. I just want to be able to have a place to just go and get it, like beer, like alcohol. You know what I mean? That's the part. Yeah.
I think we're probably, I don't know, for New York, but for the country as a whole, I mean, what do you think? 5 to 10 years for everyone?
Well, right now, I think there's 8 states that have full legalization, and I believe 27 or 29 medicinal. So, yeah, it's more than you think, and it's more and more each year. So New Jersey and Connecticut are on the ballot this year for full legalization, which would be cool because I'm not too far from there. But New York, they've started like talking about it, but they haven't like made... You know, I mean, it's not. I don't think it's going to be on the ballot this fall, but they have started talking about it, and New York could benefit just as much as California. I mean, just by on population alone, you know, New York City. I mean, it already feels legal in New York City because of delivery service, and you can just smoke in the streets, and it's nothing now. You know what I mean? Like parking next to a hydrant. You know, it's a $100 ticket, something like that. So it's not a big deal, but. That's the part about legalization I like the most is that you can just go to a place and just get it, and that's it.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see where it goes in California's sense, at least.
Yeah, so...
Early on still, you know, we're 16 days in.
Right, oh yeah, I mean, it's very early at this point, but it's cool. Piz was telling me something else too, like, it's been medicinal in some way for over 20 years.
Is that California.
In California, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
That was shocking to me. I didn't know it's been that long.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while.
So, but you did say you just came back from Mexico, and I need to hear about this trip. I think the audience, the pod god audience, needs to hear. And but moving forward, that's how you have to say the pod god. You got to say it like, you know, like that. Actually, I had it backwards. The god pod. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Moving forward, that's, I mean, that's the only way I feel like I can say it is that way. I can't say it just normally. So, but I got to hear about Mexico. It seemed like an insane trip. I have so many questions, but you were there a week, right?
Yeah, so we were there for 8 days.
And where, where in Mexico were you? I can't even pronounce it. I never heard of it.
So we flew into Puerto Vallarta, and then about 40 minutes south of Puerto Vallarta is Sayulita, which is spelled Sayulita, and it's, you know, 15 years ago, there weren't even, and we were talking to some locals, there weren't even roads there. Everything was, all the roads were sand. And now, it's, you know, it's super built up. It's super, you know, it's super local kind of, people live there. It's kind of an up and coming place, but then also they really cater to tourists as well. So, good buddy of mine, Brian Kelly, and his wife got an Airbnb, you know, they booked it, they'd been there before. So they asked Bella and I to hop on. So we hopped on board, got there on a Saturday, and, you know, the way Sayulita works is it's kind of a, you know, you want to be close enough by because everything, you can access everything by foot. You know, the whole kind of town is bumping, but, you know, people have cars, but it's kind of just kind of golf carts and small cars, and then everybody really walks around or bicycles or like motorcycles. So, but, you know, I mean, the things to do in Sayulita, you can, you know, there's great surf, there's great paddleboarding, they have, you know, $20 massages on the beach that are fabulous.
That's right up your alley. You know, it sounds like heaven. Keep going.
Beach, there's beach bars everywhere. You get, you know, awesome beers, Pacificos are $1 or $1.50 wherever you go.
Wow.
You know, the American dollar to the peso is really well right now, so I think it's 19 or 20 to 1 American dollar for every, you know, the translate, the rate over, so, you know, your money goes a long way there. But yeah, you know, and the locals are super cool, you know, street tacos all day, you know, beers all day, hopping in the water. It's a great place. A lot of fresh food. You know, the ceviche, seafood, eating fish tacos, and, you know, fresh shrimp and tuna ceviche and swordfish. It's an awesome place. You know, they really like to cater to everyone over there. So highly recommend anyone that's looking to go to Sayulita or a new place, kind of a hidden gem in Mexico. Definitely reach out to me. I'll give you some good info on it.
It definitely sounds like a hidden gem. You said, how long have people been going there, like vacationing there?
Yeah, according to like this local guy who had been traveling there for years, he said 15 years ago when he kind of discovered it, there was just sand roads through the town, and, you know, the roads are definitely nothing special now. You know, kind of like
right.
Potholes and loose cobblestone, but they have actual, you know, a road system going through the town. So, but yeah, you know, they have, ironically too, there's great, you know, for all the New Yorkers, how you know, there's great pizza in Sayulita.
What?
There's two, like, really, really good pizza places. They advertise them as, like, Italian chefs from Italy. But they've actually got pizza down, you know. It's kind of like more of your brick oven, you know, smaller style pizzas.
Right.
But they're delicious. They pretty much, you know, they know what they're doing. La Rustica is the one place, and I forget the name of the other place, but if you're in Sayulita, you can't miss them. They're the only two pizza places people will guide you to.
I'm sure, and then nothing wrong with brick oven. I love brick oven.
Well, if we weren't eating tacos or seafood or anything, you know, Mexican food related, we're eating pizza, or at least I was.
How you done? That's incredible.
It's an awesome place. I'm definitely gonna head back there in the near future for sure.
Is it on the Pacific?
Yep.
It's right on the Pacific.
Right on the coast.
And what, like, I know in Mexico, it goes by state, correct? Or is it state or province or...
I'm not sure exactly, but yeah, there's like another word in there for either state or province.
Like, is it in Bali, California? What is it called?
Baja.
No,
it's not in Baja, so Baja is kind of the a lot of people that drive into California from San Diego, mm-hmm. head into Baja, California. It's closer. It's kind of like a peninsula that jets off.
Okay.
So Sayulita's on mainland Mexico. And I'm the last person to ask about geography down there, but I don't know that much.
Now, you know, when I think about Mexico, first off, I've only been to Mexico once. I went to Cancun. A good friend of ours, J-Con, was just there, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think of Cancun as, like, Mexico, you know what I mean? It was always that place I saw on MTV, like, growing up, yeah. like, spring break.
Kind of like a little tourist bubble.
Oh, it's so it was so touristy.
And, like, a place like Sayulita, like, you know, not everybody could go there and really enjoy it. Like, if you're kind of high-strung or kind of, like, very particular, you might, you know, it's kind of like a cultural place. You kind of go there to experience, to kind of dive into the, you know, the Mexican culture.
Well, that's what it looked like. Like, you know, you're playing soccer with the little boy and middle of town. It definitely seemed like you were like, yeah, you were just living amongst like the village, you know, the villagers there and stuff.
And you definitely like, there are really great little, I think, resorts like outside of the town and stuff. But like, I think if you're going to head down there, like you want to get, and there are a ton of super nice Airbnbs that are super affordable, like right within the outskirts of town. So like, we were literally a 2 minute walk from beach and ocean, or like, you know, getting into the center of town where everything you want or need is right there.
And it sounds like heaven. I mean, and the water is crystal clear, like the whole thing.
The water's clear.
Yeah.
It's like bath water. It's super warm.
Oh, man.
Awesome. It's awesome down there. Paddleboarding with some dolphins, surfing some waves.
Well, you do that. You do that at home. But yeah, that sounds amazing. And
yeah, no, the Mexican dolphins are just magical.
Right. But was there any threat of cartel activity?
Sayulita's just pretty safe. We never once the drive from Puerto Vallarta to Sayulita is super cool because it's basically like it's actually more closer to an hour drive, but it's basically just like through the jungle of Mexico.
Oh shit.
And like, yeah, so you do see some like cool stuff. I mean, we didn't say anything sketchy, but you do see like some really gnarly living situations and just people like living off the land, and you could definitely imagine some shit going down in some of those parts. But once you get into Sayulita, like, they're smart. They know it brings in a lot of money, so they kind of keep it like, you know, what it is, but at the same time they welcome tourists and make sure it's safe enough for everyone that's coming in.
Is it in Sinaloa? Or no?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Because that's the biggest cartel. That's like El Chapo and...
Yeah. I don't think it's around there.
Okay. Regardless, I mean, every area of Mexico has, like, their own cartel. I've watched so many documentaries on this shit. Like Mexico seems like hell, but what you just described was heaven, so it's nice to know that there are nice parts of nice peaceful parts of Mexico. So
the best way I describe it is like, yeah, if you're looking, if you don't want that just like sitting in a resort type feel, but you also don't want like, you know, some really really like in it type thing, like it's the perfect balance of being in it but still like being able to have some comforts. It was cool.
It sounds awesome, and it sounds very inexpensive. I would definitely love to check that place out one day. That sounds wild.
Yeah.
And it was easy to get mota?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of street vendors everywhere, like selling like awesome stuff. Got your birthday present coming in the mail soon.
Ooh, my birthday?
Yeah, I got you a few little goodies down there.
All right, sweet.
But yeah, I mean, there's street vendors selling really, really cool, colorful, vibrant, awesome, you know, blankets and everything down there. But yeah, I found it within like, I honestly wasn't even looking for it. So I went down there with the mindset of, you know, not smoking while I was there unless it like fell into my lap. And I think day three, it fell into my lap. So, but yeah, I was with some other guys that partake in the Molta. So we had, you know, a little fun here and there in between our cervezas.
Oh man, that sounds great. What obviously, I mean, I probably know the answer to this, but the people's thoughts on Trump, like, was, you know, I know you, I think you had posted some pics, obviously, yeah, I mean, did they talk about him, you know, like, are they talking about
it? It wasn't like huge. I mean, you see subtle stuff everywhere, like, you know, they were selling fuck Trump bracelets.
Right, I saw that.
Beach, like, yeah. But not like an insane amount. And then saw a bumper sticker that said like, no S, like me Presidente, and that said like Trump in the corner.
But like, were people, yeah, I mean, were people, like, were they talking about it? Like, were the locals talking about it at all? Or
it wasn't overly, I'm sure it's gone down in the last like year since he's been in office. But I mean, no one's like outright like supporting Trump anywhere. Like, if you were like a tourist, like, you definitely weren't walking around like with your Trump shirt.
Well, no, I get that. No, I mean, obviously no one's supporting him down there, but I'm just wondering, like, do they like despise him? Because he's tweeting about Mexico pretty much on a daily basis, you know? We're going to build that big wall, you know, like every day. So yeah. I'm just wondering what they think about that. It's stupid, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the people down there definitely like seem to kind of keep to themselves with that, but I'm sure if you talk to one, they would definitely have an opinion.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, but that's interesting. They weren't really stressing.
They definitely don't like him, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. Goes without saying.
Yeah.
So you got the paddle down there. Like, is it like a serious paddle culture? Or, I mean,
there's a bunch of, you know, it's a really small town, but, you know, renting surfboards and renting stand-up paddle boards is like a big industry. Because, you know, a lot of people want to do it when they're down there. So there's like, oh man, there's got to be like at least, it's like, you know, maybe 7 to 8 different places you can rent either surfboards or stand-up paddle boards. You know, right there on the beach or right there in town. So yeah, it's super easy. You know, I think I rented a board basically for 8 days to basically have the board, like, to bring it back to my Airbnb.
Uh-huh.
It was $200 for 8 days. For 7 days, it was $200. But the coolest part is I could swap the board in and out. So like, I started the first 4 or 5 days with like, you know, a longer race board to kind of just get miles in because the waves were flat, and then once the waves kind of picked up towards the end of the week, I swapped it out for like a surfing style board, and, you know, we like hopped on a little like surf expedition that like took us 30 minutes somewhere else to find a different wave. So just being able to swap it out was super cool. But yeah, they're cool down there, and everything, you know, they got everything you need, from longboard surfboards to shortboard surfboards to paddle boards. Super cool place.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about paddle culture. I mean, obviously, it's grown immensely over the last few years. And I mean, you got me into it. You know, I'm doing it now where I live. And, you know, I even want to invest in an inflatable board so I could, you know, travel around with it this summer.
There you go.
So we'll talk, obviously, off the record. But,
how you doing?
What I want to know is, and I'm so intrigued by this, you know, surfing just got added to the Olympics recently, right? Within the last, was it the last Summer Olympics?
Yeah, I forget exactly when, but yeah, surfing will definitely be in an Olympic. It's definitely official.
Oh, so it hasn't happened yet, surfing?
No, they they've announced, I forget exactly the year, but it's definitely official.
Right. Wait, is the Summer Olympics? When is the Summer Olympics? I can't even think.
Yeah, I don't follow that, yeah. But no, surfing's in it, which is big for stand-up paddling. To kind of, potentially down the line.
Well, yeah, that's my question. Like, how far away do you think we are for stand-up paddle in the Summer Olympics? I mean, you think it's like a decade away? I mean, how far away do you think?
I don't know. It's hard to see. You know, the sport is still super, super niche and super small, but it's the type of sport that could absolutely get into the Olympics. You know, men's Olympic sprint canoe. You know, if anyone has ever get a chance, you know, YouTube Larry Kane, you know, Olympic sprint canoe, and it's basically identical to stand-up paddling, except they're on one knee.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. You probably, yeah. Anyone who watches the Olympics or, you know, follows the Olympics at all has seen it. I believe it's still an Olympic event, and it's basically identical form and everything about stand-up paddle, except the only difference is they're on one knee. And it's basically the evolution of sprint canoeing. You know, as they got, the canoers got narrower and narrower, guys couldn't, you know, they couldn't actually sit in them anymore. So then they modified them to go so fast and made them so narrow that, you know, they basically have to stay in them kneeling. But yeah, I think that shows the progression is there. It's potentially there for the future.
Absolutely. Wait, so that sport is already in the Olympics, right?
It's been in the Olympics for years, and I believe it's still in the Olympics.
Okay. And what countries, do you know what countries are, like, known for that? Because does America, does the U.S. participate in that?
So U.S. competes, Canada. So there are two huge pioneers in stand-up paddling actually directly came from that. The one guy I just mentioned, Larry Kane, he's a Canadian. He won gold and silver in the late 80s, early 90s. And then Jim Terrell, who started the company Quick Blade Paddles, he's won, or he's at least competed in, I think, four Olympics for the U.S. in sprint canoe. And they directly translated their skills over to stand-up paddle and found, you know, a lot of success. So those two countries, Canada and the U.S., have had some success in the past, but, you know, I want to say maybe, like, Germany, and it's a lot of, like, water, like, rowing countries, so maybe, like, Slovenia or Russia, countries like that.
Yeah, I think England, too. They're big into
I can see England.
Into crew and stuff like that. Well, if stand-up paddle, which I think it will be there one day. By the way, 2020 is the next Summer Olympics in Tokyo.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, so I believe that's where surfing will be.
And then, get this, so 2020 in Tokyo, 2024 in Paris, 2028 in
Los Angeles.
Now, yeah, I could see that. Cool. I could see 2028 being when stand-up paddle makes its debut at the Olympics.
Thinking back to some articles, I think that's when, you know, because surfing getting in, like you mentioned, is big for paddling as the next thing. Because a lot of people that, you know, obviously would vote for surfing or back surfing would also potentially back stand-up paddling. So, yeah, 2028, that could be it. Los Angeles. Because, I mean, you know, Southern California's got probably the most competitive stand-up paddling, you know, in the whole world. It's an industry hotspot, they call it.
Yeah, I mean, they could have the races in, you know, Dana Point, or they could do it in, I mean, they'd probably do it a little closer, maybe in, you know, Marina Del Rey, or, you know.
For sure, if they're doing, you know, two or three events, you know, a surfing event, Dana Point, and then some sprint marathon distance racing up in Marina Del Rey.
So wait, you'll be 38. By the time those Olympics, wow, it's fucking crazy. I'll be 42. Oh my god. By the time those Olympics come, do you think you'll still be able to compete at that time? Maybe, you know, there's still hope for you being an Olympian.
Never losing hope, but yeah, we'll see. You never know. I mean, it's a long ways away, but that one definitely has a long way to go before people are thinking that. But yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about the next few months.
Next few months, yeah, I hear you. It's sometimes it's stressful to just look too far down the line. Just live in the moment, you know.
Oh yeah, man.
When are you coming back east?
Well, I'm thinking this summer. Well, definitely, you know, Connor is getting married this summer.
That's right.
In Vermont.
In Vermont. Very cool.
So that's the end of June.
Nice. Make a thing out of it.
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to figure something out. I'd love to come back and spend like 2 or 3 weeks and try and get a few races in, because there's tons of
two or three races
in like Jersey and New York, and love to do some East Coast racing.
2 or 3 weeks, that would be something. That'd be cool.
I mean, wishful thinking probably would be more like a week or two max. But
two even would be a lot. Wow, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I'd have to work something out, but you never know. Definitely starting to plan the summer in the next coming months.
Well, you'll have a place to stay, if you'd like.
Oh yes.
How about?
Need some room and board.
Yeah. How about your baby Lakers? I know you said, you know, I know you were away
baby
in Mexico Lakes for a while, but a lot's been going on.
Yeah, they won 4 in a row there.
They lost last night.
Did they lose last night, or did they lose to?
To the Grizz. They lost to the Grizzlies, and I think they play in the Thunder tonight.
Are they?
Yeah, but they've been so up and down. Like, they went through that one stretch where they lost like 9 out of 10. And Lonzo... What's that?
I think they were saying that was their longest losing, you know, consecutive losing streak in a long time. I forget the year.
I think it was like franchise history almost. It was crazy.
Yeah, it might have actually been franchise history. It was no bueno.
And then, you know, I mean, Lonzo was out, I think, like 6 of those games. He had like a shoulder thing going on. And then
now
he's got like a knee sprain. So he missed last night. I think he's missing tonight. And I mean, that's not a good sign, especially because he was playing so well. So like, you know, they lost 9 out of 10. He comes back, and then they went on that streak. I think they won like 4 in a row. Or
yeah, he's breaking down.
I like him though. You know, people want to hate on him because people want to hate on him because of his loudmouth dad. By the way, did you see Luke Walton? He like.
Yeah, that comment he made in that press conference.
Yeah.
about benching Lonzo because his dad.
Yeah, I mean, that was great. But what do people think about like LeVar and the Ball family? Like, is that a topic of conversation like a lot? Like, you know, in the.
Yeah, it's honestly like people either love him or they kind of hate him. Kind of like however people like across the country kind of view him. I feel like it's the same in LA. You're either like on his side, think he's like, you know, like a charismatic, funny dude, or you're just like hate him but still watch him because he's everywhere.
Well, the kids love him. I feel like the younger generation like loves them, loves the family, because they're like this is kind of crazy, but they're like the sports Kardashians. I mean,
yeah, no, that's exactly what they are. Don't they have like some show?
Yeah, they have a reality show, and you know, you got the three brothers, two of which are on this like Lithuanian team, this pro Lithuanian team that got over 100,000 streams. Which is crazy. Yes. Like, apparently kids at school, like high school, middle school, were just like streaming this game, and like they just love it. I think it's just the older generation that's like, you know, LeVar's a loudmouth, he needs to stop meddling. I just wonder how the Lakers deal with it. I wonder how Lonzo deals with it.
Lonzo, he doesn't show much sign of like it affecting him, which is kudos to him. He handles it way better than most people would.
Well, that's one thing I like the most about him, is he's so poised and confident and doesn't let anything get to him. He just plays basketball. He's a lot more athletic than I thought. Like, I remember we were texting during the Knicks-Lakers game. That's when I really got to watch him, like, a full game. I mean, they're on a lot. Like, you know, I'll watch him from time to time, but I watched that whole game. And he went off in the third quarter at one point, and it was kind of a sign of things to come with him. And I mean, if he sustains it, wow. I mean, he's going to be quite the player. Even if he's, you know, he's a terrible shooter. And I mean, he's a rookie. He's a baby. You know, that will improve. But right now, he's shooting atrociously. But he's just a great all-around player. He's just a basketball player.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, hopefully this is just like rookie, you know, not used to playing this long a season or something, but hopefully we can get over these injuries and then just get stronger and stronger, yeah, and just keep developing like you said.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I really like this Lakers team. I mean, Lonzo, Kuzma.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, man. I mean, I love Ingram.
Yeah, Ingram.
Kuz has been awesome. I mean, everybody's noticing Kuz.
Oh, yeah. He's big. And that's a national thing. That's not just an L.A. thing. Like, that's a national thing. Kuz is definitely on people's radar. You know, a lot of people think, and I think as of now, I mean, he might be better than Lonzo right now. I don't know.
He's averaging more points per game. I mean, obviously, Lonzo's got the assists and, you know, he's going for the triple doubles and stuff. But,
right.
I mean, Kuz does more. He's, you know, he's more of a threat for sure lately.
Right. And then there's Ingram, who I like to call, you know, Baby Durant. I don't know if he'll probably never be as good as Durant. I mean, Durant's like top 20 all time.
I don't realize, like, how young Ingram still is. And even the Lakers in general are so young, you know?
Yeah.
And even, like, the guys they have around him, the older guys, are kind of misfit dudes.
Right.
You know, Dang, and, you know, they just have some random vets that kind of need to go.
Well, Dang's got a horrible contract.
Yeah,
it's like two. I think he's like 2 years left, like 40 or 50 million. It's horrible. It's as bad, maybe even worse. No, it's just as bad as like Joakim Noah's, you know, with the Knicks. Like, you know, we're stuck with him. He plays like every other night, and when he does play, he's just like, ugh, that's another story. But I do like where the Lakers are trending. Now I heard that Julius Randle, who's been playing good, I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's I don't think. So him and Jordan Clarkson who I love, but
right.
I think they both might be
on the block.
On the block just to make room. I mean, who do you think's potential for Lakers grabbing summer 18? I'm excited.
Well, I'm sure all the talk is PG-13, Paul George. I'm sure that's like the big, that's like the no-brainer kind. I think LeBron.
Yeah, I heard some rumblings about that.
I think the LeBron thing is just, I don't know. Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, if the Cavs are losing the finals or making the finals and lose, he's coming.
And they're gonna lose. I mean, if last night was any indication, it's that. The Warriors have maybe the three best the three best players by position in the NBA right now, with Steph Curry at point guard, Klay at shooting guard, and Durant at small forward. And you can even make an argument for Draymond at the four. I mean, they're ridiculous, and they have the best bench player in the league with Iguodala. Who's beating them? No one's beating them.
They're all healthy. Yeah.
Exactly. If they're healthy, you have the three best maybe shooters of all time on the same team. And LeBron, he's got, you know, an old Dwayne Wade. J.R. Smith is completely, he's having maybe his worst season. Isaiah doesn't look good. It's bad. And LeBron, of course, is playing maybe the best he's ever played, you know.
Talking about him and Brady, they're like, I want some of whatever they got.
Yeah, I want some of that TB12 or whatever the fuck LeBron takes. It's ridiculous. He's a freak. But, and then they got Kevin Love. Like, I just, you know, they're talking about a trade for, like, DeAndre Jordan, possibly, which, does it make them better? Yeah, maybe. He defends the, you know, he protects the rim. He might help, but... he's not hitting three-pointers. I mean, they do have Kyle Korver. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Not enough to beat the Warriors, and that's all that matters.
The Warriors are ridiculous. They just really are. But,
yeah.
Did you watch those, you said you didn't really watch the football games, but you saw highlights, obviously, from the weekend.
Yeah, I know you're, I know, saw some highlights.
I know you're not a football guy, but, I mean, those two games on Sunday were wild.
Yeah, I mean, that Viking finish was awesome. I mean, that, you know, you don't have to be a big football fan to love that ending.
No.
Like, I mean, shout out to Jimmy Cumber.
I was just about to shout him out. Yeah.
Celebration of the year right there for that win. He's a huge Vikings.
I know
he was loving that.
I know. I saw the video and I was like, yes, that's great. I want that feeling. You know what I mean? I want that feeling.
Yeah, I mean that's awesome for any Viking fans out there. That's great. But you know, the Patriots are gonna win it. What else is there?
I know. I mean, the Jaguars, if they didn't have the worst quarterback in the league on their team, they'd maybe give the Patriots a chance, but
I was listening to Matt Kellerman earlier today. I think it was First Take or whatever.
Yeah.
And he said a stat that the Patriots have the most players in the league on any team that have either previously been a captain of a team, like, you know, their college team or an NFL team.
Right.
Or have graduated college. They have the most out of any team, which is, you know, pretty interesting and telling stat. Like, they just know how to get the right guys that can just handle all that adversity. And they just get in touch.
Yeah, I mean,
you gotta respect that.
Oh, I respect the hell out of the Patriots now. I said this on the podcast with Mikey, you know. I can't help but just respect them, you know? I mean, even if they cheat from time to time or do some shady shit, whatever. What team doesn't, you know?
They're not cheating. They're not trying.
Exactly. You know, and Belichick, you know, I mean, exactly. He looks for smart players, and he's a smart guy. Dan Patricia, the defensive coordinator, who's a big name, you know, in the coaching search. I think he's going to the Lions, but he was big, you know, rumored to maybe be the next Giants coach. He went to RPI. Up in Troy. I mean, the guy's
RPI is a super competitive, smarty technological school. It's a good place.
Yeah. So he's very intelligent, and they just have smart people just over there up there in New England. And that's interesting though. From Kellerman, I've never heard anything like that about them, but it makes perfect sense. And
imagine being the guy that has to look up that stat to confirm that. Looking up the roster of every NFL team, looking up each guy, seeing if trying to find out if he's ever been captain, as well as, you know, I mean, maybe graduating college is a little bit easier, but man, to be a stat guy in the NFL.
Well, there's people who get paid to do that stuff, like analytics guys, you know, you see it on Twitter all the time. People just posting like weird stats with the NFL and NBA and baseball, you know, all types of weird crap. So, yeah, someone's out there getting paid to probably look that up, or maybe not. Who knows? Maybe it's an intern. It's very interesting, though. And yeah, I mean, I think for the Super Bowl, I think Patriots Vikings would definitely be a big raid. You know the Super Bowl's in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, no, that would be huge.
Oh my god. I don't think that's ever happened where like a home like a team has played at their home field in the Super Bowl.
Really? That's never happened.
I don't think it's ever happened. Mikey and I were talking about this the other day. He seems to think that the LA Rams actually back in the 70s or early 80s played at the Rose Bowl. Which would, you know, kind of be home field advantage, even though they were playing at the Coliseum. But it's still in the same city.
Yeah.
But I mean, that stadium that Minnesota plays at, it's awesome, first of all. And they have one of the most avid fan bases, most fanatic fan bases in all sports. And they haven't won in forever, so you know half the stadium at least is going to be Vikings fans. They're going to, you know, sell the house to go to that game. Like, there's no, you know what I mean? Like, I could see Jimmy. I could see Jimmy going to the game, flying out there.
Jimmy will be there.
Yeah. If they make it there, I mean,
for sure, 100%.
I don't think they've been in the Super Bowl in almost 40 years, maybe even more than that. I'm not sure. I think it was like the early 70s. But them versus the Patriots, that would be awesome. Eagles without Carson Wentz would be pretty bad.
Eagles would be cool to see.
But, that with Carson Wentz, who was like the MVP before he went down, their quarterback.
Yeah, the story behind like them winning with their backup would be pretty cool.
It would be, but like it's not like the sexy storyline. But yeah, it would be. I mean, they still have a really good defense. I think they're gonna win. I think it's gonna be Eagles Patriots, which is a rematch of 2004 Super Bowl. But I'm rooting for the Vikings hard. I hope it's Vikings. I'd love to see Jaguars upset them, but I guess for the better Super Bowl game, Patriots Vikings would be better. So it's kind of like whatever. Patriots are probably going to win. That would be shocking.
The Patriots are in there. I'm watching.
You know, I'm sure Hazang would be really upset if TB 12. Well,
oh man. Never forget seeing Pizzy freak out after that Super Bowl last year.
Oh, you were there, right?
Oh, yeah, I was sitting next to him recording him on Snapchat.
I remember.
He was bugging out. He must have 10 Jack Daniels.
I want my Jack and Dines.
It's funny. One more shot.
Shouts to Pizzy. We gotta have him on the pod.
Yeah, Pizzy's been a few weeks since I've seen him.
At some point. Yeah, we had some laughs. Back here in New York, but all right. Well, thanks for calling, man. This was fun.
It was my pleasure. My pleasure. Now it's time to go to bed.
What is it, 7:15? Yeah, it's about your bedtime. Yeah.
No, I'll be sleeping by like 9.
Yeah. Hey, man. You know that California sun? It's draining, man. You know, it's super draining.
Early bird gets the worm, man.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, good stuff. And we'll talk later.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Shout out to Proto and anyone else who might be listening.
Shouts to all the gods.
The gods. The gods.
The gods. All right, take care.
You're welcome. You're welcome.